Eva, good morning.
Good morning.
So to kick things off, you've said that Clinton's loss was more due to the unrecognised shifts in the political mood of voters. Could you expand on that one a little bit for us, please?
Yes, look, if you take a look at what happened in the UK with Brexit, what's happening with the rise of populist movement, to some degree what's happening here with the growth of areas like One Nation, and the general widespread sort of protests that are happening on both left and right in Europe and various other things, there's a deep discontent with the main way that governments have been running things probably for the last 30-odd years since we got the neoliberal revolution and paradigm change, and we ended up with market forces all over the place. Now, I think, you know, that because we had the global financial crisis now, 8 years ago, and in many cases, economies have not recovered, and because it's perfectly obvious that inequality is increasing, more people are dropping out of the system, that there's a deep anger in a lot of areas, both on left and right, of people who feel that they're being run over, in a sense, by the elites, whoever they happen to be, who are identified with bankers, with big governments, with the major political parties, including some of the Social Democrat ones which went along in the third way. And, you know, there's a sort of people's movement or varieties of people's movement starting. And if you look at the American election, the Obama people tapped into that when Obama got in. You know, we had a black president. He beat Hillary Clinton in the primaries even then. He set up a very high level of expectations by saying his slogan was hope. He's had 8 years there, and in those 8 years, yes, he's done some interesting stuff, but generally the last few years things have apparently stalled fairly badly. Nothing much has happened because he hasn't had a majority. So, and Hillary Clinton comes in and says, I'm going to continue Obama's contribution, and what's more, I'm a woman.
Yes, yes, that one.
Yeah, and so we're going to have this radical change of having a woman in the top position. And for a lot of people, Hillary is part of the problem. Not because she's a woman. I mean, in some cases, it is because she's a woman. I'm not denying that sexism is part of this. Sexism is always part of it, in the same way that racism was to some degree a part of some of the dramas with Obama. But basically, a lot of people voted for Hillary, voted against Hillary, or didn't vote, because they weren't happy with Hillary as a potential president, because she was going to retain the bulk of the status quo. And given the fact that there was a very narrow margin that Trump won by, in fact, Hillary won the popular vote, but Trump won the number of delegates, that it's fairly shocking that somebody like Trump could do as well, whether he beat her or not. In fact, he did beat her. And it does suggest that there's a serious malaise amongst the Democrats, which Hillary was caught up with. She was seen as somebody who had relationships with Wall Street. She was seen as somebody who was pushing the status quo. She was seen as somebody who pushed against Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who were much more radical versions of Democrats.
Now, you did mention Bernie Sanders there. I know it is speculation a little bit, but if Hillary's election loss was due to a lack of radicalism, do you think that there would have been more of a chance for someone like Bernie Sanders?
I think there could have been. I mean, he got 12 million votes. I mean, 12 million votes for a 72-year-old ex-Jewish admitted atheist, which is usually regarded as the kiss of death, who said also that he was a socialist, and he still got 12 million votes in the primaries, and a lot of enthusiasm from a lot of young people. So I think maybe he could have done it, because in a sense what he was saying was a sort of left version of what Trump was saying. We're in a mess and we need to get ourselves out of it. And that's why people got enthused about him. And a lot of people who were enthused about Sanders, and also Elizabeth Warren, who's, you know, who he was working with and could possibly have been a vice presidential candidate or even a candidate, that because they were not there in the final analysis, they were left with Hillary. I think a lot of people just didn't vote who would have voted for the Democrats normally, and that also lost her vote. So, I mean, we can carry on about the fact it was sexism that lost it, but I think that misses the point, because I think the point is that a lot of voters were looking for something different, and Hillary wasn't different enough. Just being a woman in itself wasn't enough. Yes, Trump was rude. Yes, Trump's revolting. yes, some of the things he said were quite shocking to a whole lot of people. But there were also the sorts of things you were getting bits and pieces of people saying, yeah, but that's the sort of stuff my brother-in-law says when he's got a few beers in him. You know, that's the sort of stuff you hear around the locker room. That's the sort of stuff you get when blokes get together. It wasn't seen, it was seen as a personal problem, but not as a cardinal sin. And so people, women voted for him, and people just assumed that if they attacked him for being a sexist, nasty bastard, that women wouldn't vote for him. And women said, no, we're voting for him because he's pushing the idea of change. He's a disruptor. We've got no idea what he's going to do, but he's going to change things. And they said, looked at Hillary and thought, nah, the mixture's before. She's too close to Wall Street. She isn't really pushing anything that's a serious change. So I just think that the progressive movements have got to stop whinging about the fact that everybody that voted for her, that didn't vote for her, was a racist, sexist, ignorant, uneducated person, because if you look at the statistics, that's not true. And I think the progressive side of politics also has to have a serious think about where their alternatives are. There's a lot of protesting going on, but the idea of having a vision, the sort of Bernie Sanders vision, is not very common. It certainly isn't one that we've got here to any degree, where people are offering a serious alternative vision to the neoliberal stuff. There's bits and pieces in the Greens things, but it's not a coherent policy. And the Labour Party, along with the British Labour Party and to some degree the Republicans, have still think that neoliberalism and market forces are a good idea. You've just got to be nicer around the edges, which was the message that Hillary was pushing that people didn't want.
Now, Hillary Clinton was, of course, the first female candidate to be running for president that the United States had been faced with. Do you think that these issues were specific to Hillary Clinton, or do you think that perhaps the next woman who does run for US president will face similar issues?
I think that whatever woman runs in a senior position will face a level of sexism. But I think a large proportion of the reason why Hillary didn't get in this time against a candidate that any halfway decent candidate should have walked all over was not because she was a woman, though it would have contributed some of the deficit. But basically the major deficit was because she wasn't seen as a change agent, despite the fact that she would have been the first woman prime minister, first woman president, which was not in itself enough to counter the fact that she was seen as fairly conservative.
Now, just before we do let you go, Eva, you've discussed beforehand that there does need to be a long-term feminist change, especially in the field of politics. How do you think that the world is going to be able to go about that, and what do you think needs to be changed?
Well, I think feminism at the moment is focused very much, I make a sort of crack in an article I've got in The Conversation about the fact that, you know, when we started the women's movement, because I'm an ageing feminist, we said the personal is political by saying the sorts of things that affect us personally are the sorts of things that we should put on the political agenda. I think we've got to switch that round and say the political has to become much more than it was, you know, that we actually have to try and get into big politics, not how I feel, not what people say to me, not the way I'm treated and what my body looks like. But to get out there and say, this is the country you want to live in. This is a feminist version of what matters. This is the social, the relational. It's the fact that we need some acknowledgement of the fact that all of the unpaid work that we do is really important. We need to get away from the idea that all we have to do in order to achieve in male is to do it in male terms and get a job. We've got to assume that actually taking care of people is something that both men and women should do, but it should also be rewarded. Maybe we need to have a universal basic income so that we recognise that there's a large amount of unpaid work and that men and women need to share it more equally, because that's what makes a society go around. Instead of that, all we do is focus on the bloody economy. And basically, you know, if we're going to talk about sort of what makes a feminist, I think anybody who believes that economics is the solution to everything has difficulty being a feminist, because it leaves out all of those things about relationships, feelings, ethics, and caring, all of the things that tend to be ascribed to women, which also hold us back in terms of the fact that they're not seen as important. So I think there's some fairly dramatic changes we still need to make that we haven't made. So we still live very much in a world that is defined in male terms.
Eva, it's always a pleasure having you on The Daily this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure.